Bound.
Families are complicated. Watching a handful of Bollywood movies is enough to know just how complicated families can get. Especially Indian ones. Add a family business to the mix, and you've got a 15-year-old court case, a roller coaster of mixed emotions, and emotional business decisions that have led to the downfall of many brands. So how did Haldiram join the exclusive club of family businesses that have survived at a huge scale for generations? This is Brand Excavations, a brand new podcast that unearths the dramatic, inspiring, and real stories behind India's iconic brands. Last week, we spoke about Haldiram's rise in Bikaner. But the Haldiram's we know today is an international endeavor. So how did they go from a small shop in a temple courtyard to being stocked in supermarkets around the world? The answer? They kept it in the family. Within just a few years of inventing the new bhujia, Haldiram's business was booming. By the 1940s, the family was producing 300 to 400 kgs of bhujia a week, and that was barely managing to keep up with demand. But the family was satisfied. Haldiram, along with his three sons, were happy with what they had achieved. Rameshwar Lal, the oldest son, had the most drive out of all the brothers. He had inherited his father's sense of smell and taste and loved to experiment with new recipes. Mool Chand was the typical middle child, a little laid back and not totally ambitious. He was the charming, lovable brother who kept the peace when disagreements broke out. And then there was Satidas, the youngest sibling. They might have stayed in that small shop in Bikaner forever, passing it on from generation to generation, until an unexpected opportunity came knocking at their door. In the early 1950s, Haldiram went to Kolkata for his friend's son's wedding. Haldiram was so overjoyed for his childhood friend that he cooked bhujia for the wedding guests. Not only was the bhujia a hit at the wedding, it became a hit in Kolkata.
Haldiram, your bhujia is a hit? You should set up shop in Kolkata. You'll be an overnight sensation.
Ah, Bhanwarlal, I'm already doing well at home. Kolkata is an unknown place. I don't know anyone here. It's too much of a risk.
You know me.
And thus, Bhanwarlal convinced Haldiram to set up a shop in Kolkata. Bhanwarlal had contacts with the Marwadi community there, which made it much easier for Haldiram to get comfortable. In 1956, they set up shop in a 25-square-foot space on Kalakar Street. By 1967, it was thrice as large, and sales had grown by 100%. Everyone in Kolkata knew the Haldiram Bhujiawala shop. But while the company was growing, so were divides between family members. By the 1960s, Satidas had had it with his big brother. They lived together, worked together, and ate together. Perhaps he wanted a chance to be more than just the youngest sibling.
Sati, I understand that brother's fight. I left home for the same reason. Here are some funds to start your own business.
And thus, with his father Haldiram's blessing, Satidas started his own shop in Kolkata, Haldiram and Sons. So, by 1968, all three of Haldiram's sons were settled. Mool Chand ran the Bikaner business, while Rameshwar Lal and Satidas had their Kolkata shops. But now, it was time for the next generation to show what they were made of. Of all of Haldiram's sons, Mool Chand was the least ambitious. But his children would drive Haldiram's to even greater heights. His oldest son, Shiv Kishan, was a genius in the kitchen and had learnt the ins and outs of the business with his uncle Rameshwar Lal in Kolkata. And his third son, Manohar Lal, was the first man in the family to get a college education. Yes, man. The Haldiram story gets overpowered by the men. The ones who were inventing new recipes and taking major decisions that would change everything. But the women were doing a lot of work behind the scenes that kept everything running, from domestic chores to frying bhujia for the shop. Even the expansion of Haldiram into Maharashtra was because of Moolchand's only daughter, someone who got left out of the family tree because of her gender. Saraswati Devi was married to Banshi Lal, a labourer. They could have survived on his income, but Saraswati Devi saw the quality of life her brothers enjoyed. She had put in work into the company like everyone else. Now she wanted some returns. "Papa, all my brothers run their shops and are so well off. Why don't you give Banshi Lal a shop of his own too?" Moolchand thought it over.
"There's already 5 people running this one shop in Bikaner. And Shiv Kishan is having problems with Rameshwar Lal and his wife. We need to set up a new branch. It's the only solution."
And so Saraswati Devi and Banshi Lal headed to Nagpur to start a new shop under the guidance of her brother Shiv Kishan. After being under his uncle's thumb in Kolkata, Shiv Kishan was desperate to prove himself.
"3 years. If I can't make something good here in 3 years, I'll give up and go back to working for my uncle."
Nagpur was a small Maharashtrian town stuck in its ways. They didn't care for the Haldiram bhujia, but Shiv Kishan noticed that people there loved sweets.
"If I win over their sweet tooths with different dishes from back home, I'll convince them to start eating our savory snacks as well."
And that's exactly what happened. The Nagpur locals loved the rasgulla and rasmalai that Shiv Kishan had never been allowed to make and sell in Kolkata. But now, he wanted to enter the restaurant space. After visiting a local restaurant that served just dosa and idli, he realized that there was a market for those foods. So he set up a restaurant in Nagpur, serving vegetarian South Indian food. And lo and behold, the people loved it. The Haldirams had captured a non-North Indian market. Now they set their sights on the Golden Goose, the capital. Shiv Kishan had the drive to go to Delhi, but he didn't want to do it alone. He started to see a spark in his brother, Manohar Lal. Younger to him by 15 years, he was filled with the same fire that Shiv Kishan had. And so in 1983, they opened their first branch in Chandni Chowk, Delhi. Manohar Lal's college education came in handy. He was full of ideas for the company.
"We have to start using machinery to produce our food. We'll never reach those volumes unless we start modernizing. And we need to start investing in branded packaging. No one will buy our food if it comes in these random plastic bags."
Moolchand, heading the parent branch in Bikaner, realized that things were about to get ugly. So he offered them a choice.
"You all split the businesses. Stay in your zone. Run your business the way you want to. We're still a family business, but everyone has freedom."
And so they split. But Rameshwar Lal was still bitter about all the money he lost propping up the Bikaner business. He started to make inroads into Delhi, which went against the verbal agreements the family members had made when they split. What made it worse was that he used the same name as the Delhi branch, making it a branding issue as well. So a story that started from a family that worked together ended in a 15-year-long court case between the Kolkata family and the Delhi family. And in 2013, Delhi's Haldirams became the sole owner of the trademark Haldiram Bhujiawala. Haldirams now consists of almost a dozen companies spread over three geographical zones internationally. And in 2020, they collectively crossed the $1 billion mark in sales. In spite of all their problems, the Haldiram name is still iconic. Be it a roadside tea stall on the outskirts of an Indian city, a Tesco's in the London suburbs, or a grocery store in the United States, Haldiram will be there, bringing a taste of India wherever you go. Because with Haldiram, you're always part of the family. This is Brand Excavations, a brand new podcast that unearths the dramatic, inspiring, and real stories behind India's iconic brands. Join us every Thursday to find out how these brands have revolutionized what you buy and how you live. Narrated by Tavish Bhattacharya. Created by Bound, a company that helps you grow through stories. In collaboration with branding expert Shruti Taneja, founder of Stumble and Paired.